Hello, folks. Back once again, Pastor Mike here. We're going to finish out the voice of the trumpet. I've enjoyed this so far. It was fun putting all this together. And you know, it's really not that hard to look at the words in the Bible, to believe the words of the Bible, and to know that God is going to speak to you prophetically in a wonderful voice through the pages of the King James Bible. And so we're just looking at all the places. You know, John said his voice was as a voice, it was a great voice, the voice of a trumpet. And so we're looking at all the places where trumpets, or not really all of them, but places in the Bible where trumpets sounded. And I, there was a bunch of them that I left out here. A lot of them seem to be redundant. They were kind of teaching the same thing. But you do your own study of this and let God kind of piece some things together for you. We're going to be next in 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 39. 1 Kings deals, of course, David has passed on, and he is no more. And now there has to be another king. And this is a beautiful story. There's a lot of things about Solomon, but one of the things about Solomon, this is kind of neat. In that Solomon was the son of David and Bathsheba. You remember Bathsheba was the one that David lusted after. He then committed adultery with her. She got pregnant by David. He called her husband in, Uriah the Hittite, to go into her. He refused. He sent him back out on the front line, had him killed in the battle, and to cover up this pregnancy. But we do a lot of things to cover up our own sins, and it never works. It never works, people. Let God cover them, okay? It's a whole lot better that way. Let God cover your sins with Christ's blood. But anyway, and then Nathan confronted David. The child was born, but then it died shortly thereafter, okay? And so, but David takes Bathsheba to be his wife, and the child born of them after that was Solomon. And if Solomon represents a lot of things, but in this particular context here, he represents second chances. And that, man, I don't know about you, but I've had second chances, and I thank God for them. This whole ministry and my belief in this Bible was God's second chance to me. And I can't thank him enough, and I'm not backing down. And you can argue with me all you want to about how the Bible's not really perfect. And okay, go on, okay, because this is my second chance, and I'm going to make the most of it that I possibly can. And that's who Solomon represents. But now David has died, and Solomon is going to be king. And so in 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 39, and Zadok the priest took an horn of oil out of the tabernacle and anointed Solomon. This is a picture. It says they blew the trumpet, and all the people said, "God save King Solomon." Solomon is a picture of the millennial reign of Christ in a lot of ways, in that he builds the temple. He represents like the second coming of Christ. He has 700 concubines, 300 wives. That's 1,000. Okay, and all of it was about 1,000 years before Christ literally came on the earth. And so the trumpet then that we see in the book of Revelation in the seven trumpets is designating and appointing Jesus Christ to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, which he is. And he is going to be sovereign king over the entire earth for 1,000 years. So I just wanted to put that in there, that was the meaning behind it. And then we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 27, and I'm pretty sure we're going to be able to finish this out in this third sequence here. Isaiah chapter 27, verse 12, we're looking at trumpets and how they're associated. The Bible says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall beat off from the channel of the river unto the stream of Egypt, and ye shall be gathered one by one." Remember, this is about the gathering. "O ye children of Israel, and it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown. Remember, John said it was a great voice as of a trumpet. And this is it right here. It's the voice of Jesus Christ. It's His word. That the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Syria, and the outcasts in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem. So this is about sounding the alarm, calling people to battle. It's about sounding. Remember those two silver trumpets? They were for the assemblage of God's people. And this is what we see here: the great trumpet shall be blown. They shall worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem, and that is the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Now Isaiah 58 verse 1. I already turned to these places just to give you a fair chance. Isaiah 58, verse 1, here it is right here. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Now, let me. I like this. Show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Okay? Every pastor should be sounding, should lift up their voice like a trumpet. That means preach out of the Bible. Preach out of the trumpet that was made from one piece of silver. Preach out of the King James Bible. And here's what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be showing people their transgressions. Okay? Why are you supposed to be doing that? So that they'll repent of them. If you get, listen, I know people, I know me. I know people well enough to know that if you don't preach on sin and you give people a free pass to do whatever they want to, they're going to do whatever they want to and they won't feel guilty about it. In fact, a lot of the preachers nowadays have relegated sin to something that people like Charles Manson or really fundamental Bible-believing Christians do. But they themselves, you know, if you're a homosexual, we welcome you here, okay? It's gay day at Journey Church. Okay, I mean that's kind of how it is. They're giving people a free pass on their sin, and the job of a preacher is to lift up their voice like a trumpet. That means preach the Bible. Preach it. Read verses. Give them bunches of verses. Be careful about pastors that they'll start out with a verse of scripture, and I've known some fundamental pastors. And maybe this is all they know how to preach, but they'll get up and they'll read a scripture text and then they'll preach for 30 minutes and never even reference the text one time. Okay? Preach the word. Make your voice like the sound of the trumpet and cause people to know their transgression so that they can repent. All right? And that's what's going to happen when these seven trumpets sound, in Christ, the voice, when these seven trumpets sound in the last days, Israel is going to know their transgression. They're going to know it. Right now, they don't get it. They don't see it. But God's going to sound the trumpet, and they're going to know. Okay? Jeremiah 6. Let's turn in our King James Bibles there. Jeremiah 6, verse 17, the Bible says, "Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken." Okay? People turn their ears away from, especially if you're preaching out of the King James. Listen, Pastor, don't be surprised when visitors show up at your church and you're singing out of the hymn book and you're preaching out of the King James Bible. Don't be surprised if they don't come back. Because that's not what they were looking for. Or if they were looking for was the praise band and the verses up on the screen and everything else, and for you to come out in a t-shirt with holes in your jeans. That's what they were looking for. They were not looking for this. So it says, "Hearken to the sound of the trumpet," but they said, "We will not hearken." Therefore, hear ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, this is verse 19, "Behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts." The fruit of their thoughts. Think about everybody thinking. This noetic science says everybody thinks the same thing at the same time and will make it come to pass. God says, I'm going to give them the fruit. The fruit is always a birthing term. It's the coming of the Antichrist. The fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words. There it is. He's connected it here. They have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. And I believe there's some preaching going to go on in the last days that's going to be sent as a final warning to people. Notice, even in the book of Revelation, that the vials of wrath are poured out only after the trumpets have sounded. Okay? That, to me, I get that. Okay? I absolutely get that. And God has not appointed us as Bible-believing Christians to wrath. So I understand that. But I want you to notice that the wrath is not poured out until the trumpets have sounded. And that's what he's saying here. He said, you sound your voice, you make your voice sound like a trumpet, and you preach that word, they're not going to hearken to you. And God says, okay, they've not hearkened, and they've not listened to my law, but they have rejected it. And since they rejected it, God then begins to pour out vials of wrath upon the earth. Jeremiah 42. Boy, we're moving right along. I'm not trying to hurry this. But I just kind of want to lay a foundation here for you so that when we finally get into the seven trumpets, if we get to them before they actually sound, then you'll kind of know what's going on. Anyway, and, you know, I'll be honest with you. I'd much rather, you know, hear the seven trumpets than preach about them. Okay? I'm ready to go. Jeremiah 42, verse 13. The Bible says, "But if you say, 'We will not dwell in this land, neither obey the voice of the Lord your God,' saying, 'No, but we will go into the land of Egypt, where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor have hunger of bread, there will we dwell. There will we dwell. And now therefore hear the word of the Lord, ye remnant of Judah. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, if you wholly set your faces to enter into Egypt and to go to sojourn there." How far was I supposed to? I was supposed to stop at verse 14. I'll stick with my notes here. The key to this one was, and I just had to bring this one out. They said, God said, "I invite you to heaven. I invite you to dwell in this land." Okay, but they said, no, we're going to go to Egypt. And you know why we want to go to Egypt? Because we don't want to hear the sound of the trumpet. Okay, Egypt is always a type and a picture of the world. And what happened? What happens when you, listen to me, what happens when you start getting cold on God? When you start getting cold on God, you start getting worldly. Okay, when you start backsliding, you start getting worldly. You're looking to go to Egypt. And why are you looking to go to Egypt? Because you're tired of this Bible. You're sick of it. You don't want to hear it no more. Okay, I know a lot of people that at one time they were in church, they were on fire for the Lord, and boom, they're out. And I mean, they don't want to hear it. They don't. You can't bring it up. You can try to sit and you know how we do. We sit, you know, talk to them a little bit. Hey, let me share some scripture with it. And they go, "I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it." Okay? Whew. That's dangerous. That is deadly, deadly dangerous to get in that kind of position as a person. But that's what happens. Okay? They don't want to hear the sound of the trumpet anymore. They do not want to hear this Bible preach. And so they'll do one of two things. Number one, quit going to church. Or they'll go to the church where they hear the uncertain sound. Okay? I think these big churches are big for a reason. It's because they're not hearing any trumpet sounding in there, and that's where people like it. They feel comfortable in this church because they're not going to get under conviction. And you and I both know that to be the case. Now Ezekiel chapter 33. And this is my ministry. This is the ministry of Bethel Church. If you're a pastor, you're a watchman. Okay, you're an under-shepherd of the shepherd, and you're supposed to have your eyes open, and you're supposed to be watching out for your flock. If you're not, you're a hireling. Okay, you're just doing it for the money. The hireling doesn't care. The hireling just wants, he's just showing up for payday, and he's probably pastoring this church because it looks good on a resume, and the next church that makes him a better offer, he's down the road. That's a hireling. You don't care about those people. Oh, he cries a lot and says, "Oh, I'm going to miss you. We had such good friends here." But man, he's taking a $25,000 pay raise and a new house. Okay, he's not staying. He's a hireling. He doesn't care about that flock. So we are watchmen, and as watchmen, we're to sound the alarm. Ezekiel 33, verse 3. If when he seeth the sword come upon the land, and he blow the trumpet, that means he preaches this Bible right here, and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet, and taketh not warning, if the sword come, take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. It's his fault. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. And so as long as you'll listen to the preaching of God's word, as long as you'll listen to the trumpet blowing, when the Holy Spirit will come to you invariably at times, and the Holy Spirit will start sounding a little trumpet down in your soul, warning you, hey, this is not good. Something you're fixing to get into ain't right. Step back. Okay? He's trying, and all of a sudden, you don't know what it is, but you're reading the Bible one day, and all of a sudden, God spells it out for you, and you go, oh, wow. God was trying to keep me out of that situation, and here's why. Because you don't know all the Bible, but God does. Okay? So you'll deliver your soul. But if the watchman see the sword come, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood, his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. Okay? I don't want to go stand before God with bloody hands. That's not something that I want to do. I don't want to be guilty. And I already have guilt complexes anyway. Guilt's good, you know, by the way. Guilt is a good thing. You had to keep you on your knees to keep you humble. There are people that I, throughout my life, that I probably should have said something to. I never did. And I know some of them are in hell now because of it. Okay? And I don't ever want to get over that. I want it to be a reminder to me of my job, my responsibility to my own family, my responsibility to my church here, my responsibility to you. Because a lot of you watch our Bible studies, you watch our church services, you watch our broadcasts. And I don't take that lightly. I don't take it for granted. And I don't take it lightly. I realize that I have a responsibility to tell the truth, to say what this Bible says, whether you like it or not, whether you send in donations for it, whether you help us out with our DVDs and, you know, all this stuff. I have a responsibility whether you pay for it or not. Okay? When we started this in January of 2008. It didn't really cost us anything to put this out on the internet. Our web space was being donated. I had a camera, had a green wall. It doesn't look green, but it is green. Had a green wall, and I just sat down and started doing that thing and put it out there. Okay? I didn't know then what I see now. God has blessed it, and I praise Him for that. But the idea was, okay, since we're not charging anybody anything and we're not counting on that money being here, then I can say what I need to say whether somebody likes it or not. And that, see, I like being free. When you're free, you're free. Okay? And I am free in this ministry to say what I think this book says, whether or not you're going to support it or not. Okay? I like it that way, but that's how it has to be. That's how it has to be. And so I have to tell you what this book says, not what so-and-so over here says and not some other book that was written 50 years ago by Dr. such-and-such. I have to tell you what this book says. I have to blow the alarm and sound the alarm and blow the trumpet. And if I don't, I'm going to be responsible for that. But you are too if you don't listen. All right? And then Joel chapter 2, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain, let all the inhabitants of the land tremble for the day of the Lord. There it is. John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Here it is. The day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at, well, there's that number 5 again, it is nigh at hand. And then he says in verse 15, blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Here we are, bringing everybody again together for an assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck the breast. And here it is. Ready? Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Who's the bride and the bridegroom? Okay? I like it. Matthew chapter 25. The five wise virgins, and when the midnight cry came out, they were ready. And they went into the chamber and with the bridegroom. I love that. I absolutely love that. And it's all associated with those trumpets. Okay? That's what that's associated with. Now, page 3, as Paul Harvey used to say. Well, I wish I had Paul Harvey's voice. Matthew 24. Now, this is going to... It's just the road that God's taken us on. This is immediately after the tribulation. Remember all those words we looked up. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened. That's what Joel says is going to happen. And in the book of Acts. And the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall. Okay, Revelation 12 and Isaiah 13 and all those places. Stars shall fall from heaven. The powers of the heavens shall be shaken. In other words, God's going to take the heavens. He's going to shake them. And all the angels that are going to fall are going to fall. Okay? And then shall the sign, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. That's clouds. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds. Remember Exodus 19, okay? The clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, okay? And I'll read the other two verses here in a minute. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now, all I'm going to do after, I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to read the next two verses on my list, okay? Let Scripture interpret Scripture. 1 Corinthians 15, 52, in a moment. Paul said, before that, he said, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be. He said, behold, I show you a mystery. A mystery. Let me do this, okay? In Revelation 10, and I preached Revelation 10 Sunday morning. Well, I'll tell you what, God visited us then. That we're dealing with the seven trumpets. In Revelation 10, verse 7, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, okay, in those days when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, 51, he said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. Okay? At the last trump. The last trump. That's what it says. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That is our translation, our changing. Okay? 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. There it is. With the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. That's what he said here in 1 Corinthians 15. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And I can't help, okay? I can't help but tie these together because they're all talking about, they're all similar in what they're saying. And so I can't help but tie them together. Now, do I have the answers of, is this 3.5 years, is it 7 years, Pastor Mike? I'll tell you, I had a guy write me an email last week, and he said, it's almost like he was calling me a sly dog, because he said, you're trying to slip in post-tribulationalism. That's what you're trying to sneak into everybody. And I'm going, I'm not, okay? Because I don't, this is the Word of God. Okay, this is what it says. Let's believe the Word of God, even if we can't put it all out in a line or a chart of some kind. Let's just believe the Word of God first. And I've made a deal with God. Is that God, no matter what anybody says about me, no matter how much they say, well, you're a false prophet, you don't believe Dr. Van Impey's so-and-so, you don't believe Tim LaHaye, that's fine. No matter what people say, okay, I want to know what this Bible says, and I'm going to believe what it says, even if it contradicts something I may have learned before or whatever. And I don't have all the answers, but here's what I'm telling you. Okay, please be patient. Be patient with me, number one, but be patient with God, because I'm reasonably sure, according to what I see in the scriptures, that there's going to come a time it's going to click. Okay, things are going to happen, and we're going to go, this is that. Okay, so be prepared. Have your minds set upon the Word of God. Study it like you've never studied before. I mean, get into the Word of God without Mike Hoggart or anybody else's comments on it. Get into the Word of God and study these things out to see. Be a Berean to see whether these things be of God or not. All right? So that's the voice, the great voice. The great voice. Okay? I'd love to hear Jesus do radio. Okay? Or a movie promo. And if Jesus did a movie promo, it would be, don't go see this movie, it's filthy. Okay, that's how Jesus would do it. Anyway, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Well, that means he's God. Okay, that means he's God. Anyway, the seven candlesticks, the seven churches, the white hair. I want to get into the white hair. This is Pastor Mike. I love you. Thanks for forbearing with me this week. God bless you. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.